like to call to order the Amherst Town Council meeting for August 10th. For the first item on the agenda, if everybody would please silence their cell phones. After that, the next two items, the Pledge of Allegiance and the invocation, will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Mr. Thompson will lead us in the invocation. If you are uncomfortable or wish to step out during the invocation, you may, and I see Officer Rose standing back there in the corner, and he will retrieve you and bring you back in, and then we'll get started with this thing. So if everybody will please stand and face the table.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this and every day, Lord. We thank you for this time that you've come together, Lord. We thank you for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. I pray that what's said and done here tonight, Lord, will be in your accordance. These things I ask in your most precious and glorious name. Amen.
Amen. You have the sheets back there?
That's right.
Oh, if you can do that. You can bring, they've got citizens' comments if anybody would like to speak during the public hearing. Thank you, sir. Okay. The next item is the public hearing on the loud exhaust ordinance, Mr. Lance.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Yes, I am. Sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This matter is based on enabling legislation that was adopted by the General Assembly in July 1, as you all know, that allows a local government to regulate loud exhausts coming from vehicles. I understand this is a problem that the town has had quite a bit of. And there are really two distinct things that are animating this draft ordinance that you see. The first is a flexible definition of what loud means, and the second is a flexible definition of what an exhaust system means. Obviously, if we're going to require a specialized device to measure what loud means, that's going to make it difficult and impossible for the police to enforce, because they would always have to have that device with them and running during the short period that the exhaust is running too loud. So we wanted to provide a flexible definition for that concept of loud. And case law tells us that loud exhaust doesn't have to provide for a scientific decision to pass constitutional muster. So the term can be somewhat subjective. And so we've defined it in this draft ordinance. Excessive or unusual levels of noise means any noise of such intensity as to unreasonably disturb or annoy the quiet comfort or repose of any person. That's actually based on a specific case's definition of being too loud, something that Virginia court held to pass muster as a reasonable definition for loud. The next thing that is a somewhat flexible definition is our definition of exhaust system. I was asked earlier today whether certain trucks could qualify. We weren't sure that the loud sound was coming from their pipes. And fortunately, we have a flexible definition of an exhaust system because, of course, our police officers are specialized in law enforcement, not mechanics. So we can't expect them to necessarily know what part of the car the sound is coming from, but we can't expect them to know whether the sound is unreasonably loud. And so exhaust system has been broadly defined as all the parts of the vehicle through which the exhaust passes after leaving the engine block, including mufflers and other sound dissipative devices. So basically, if your muffler is not working, that's enough to know. that the sound is not acceptable on this grounds. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them.
We'll open the public hearing first. All right, with that, I'll open the public hearing, and we have two people listed. Ms. McGuffin, you are going to read a statement on behalf of Aaron Lader.
Yes, sir. Members of Council, I am writing in support of the proposed amendment of Chapter 20, Article 1, creating a new section prohibiting loud exhaust. As residents of the town of Amherst living in the business district of South Main Street, my wife and I have been firsthand witnesses to the steady rise of egregiously loud vehicle exhaust since changes to state law in 2020. The limitations were quickly exploited by some for an array of vehicle modifications, one being a trend towards modifying exhaust systems in a manner that serves no purpose beyond being disruptive and attention-seeking as possible. The effect is especially pronounced in the business district, where buildings are both tighter and higher than in the residential area to the north, which I know from talking to fellow residents also suffer mightily despite the reduced echo and reflection. Coupled with the single traffic light in town that provides an opportunity to accelerate from a stop or when turning from 2nd Street onto South Main, the volume can be outright deafening if you are unfortunate enough to be on the sidewalk when one or sometimes a pack of these vehicles drives by. Despite double pane windows, thick walls, and sound deadening insulation, we often have to cease conversation, apologize to parties on the other end of conference calls during work hours, and pause or rewind TV shows until vehicles have passed. In most cases, one can continue to hear the vehicles for what seems to be like miles down the road as they arrogantly spread their noise pollution the length of town. While I respect the creativity and mechanical skills in many vehicle modifications, turning one's exhaust into what amounts to a vehicular cannon simply for the performative sake of annoying others crosses a line that does measurable harm to the livability of the town. Lastly, for those questioning the basis for making a related traffic stop, I feel the common sense guidelines defined in the amendment are reasonable, paired with the obvious and provable fact that the exhaust has been modified from its factory default configuration. Please vote in support of this amendment to the code and enable our town police to immediately begin to enforce the changes in state law. Aaron Mailer, whose quiet, comfort, and repose has most definitely been unreasonably disturbed.
And the next one is Ms. I'm still not going to
clap. Sunday market.
Yes, I was just going to say, Angela. Okay, you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
All right, I come, nothing written, so I'm just going off the top of my head here. I will just briefly tell you my experience in town now that I work and live. I live on 2nd Street now, and I work right there. And yes, it is very obnoxious and very loud, and I jump a mile. I'm a very jumpy person, so when people gun it through the town, I go, bah! And then I'm like, well, that sucked, that's annoying, and I literally forget about it within 3 seconds. That's my amount of annoyance. It's about 3 to 5 seconds. And then I'm off to the next thing. And yes, it is annoying. But is it annoying enough to slam somebody with $250 fine? Is it annoying enough for our police officers to have to be a judge of people's mechanical nuances? I believe state inspection covers such things. Why do we take what the state inspection can put a sticker on your car and say whether or not you're compliant with the law, and then, you know, have these guys be redundant? I mean, I think they have better things to do with their time. We also, for the amount of people that come through here, I would say it's about for me, from my experience, it'd be like 3 to 5 vehicles a day, maybe. I hardly see that as a problem, just saying. Just because the state's doing it doesn't mean our town of 2,800 people has to do it. We are just a speck compared to the county. And I think it's not really a big deal to be putting all this time and effort into it. And I stink at math. However, a $250 fine, which I know we haven't decided on yet, but that's what's mentioned, it's something like if we have 3 seconds of annoyance and you slap them with a $250,000 or $250 fine, it comes to about 2 cents of an infraction going by the seconds that are said. I have the math all somewhere, but I figured that out because I'm weird. But it was like, it just seems totally unnecessary. We can't legislate just because somebody's annoyed. It's not measurable. It's not enforceable. It's way too subjective. It can't be proved, and it's a hassle for our law enforcement. And I just think it's just not annoying enough. We should learn as a community to tolerate each other, let the state inspection deal with these mechanical problems, let us, you know, talk to people if they want to pull somebody over and say, hey, look, you know, come on. I don't know if they're allowed to do that. Sorry, I don't know. But anyway, I just think it's kind of ridiculous and a waste of our time. So, thank you.
Just
want to
answer I don't recall us mentioning that you want to put it on time. So, why do you think there was time to take care of it?
That's provided for in the state legislation.
Up to.
Yeah. Up to.
Yeah. The court's going to have to do that then.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I would say the inspection is, unless it's changed, which it probably has, that wouldn't be a rejectable item as long as it's got an exhaust.
Yeah, inspection.
No, it's still safety.
Right, it's on safety.
These exhausts are in violation of that ordinance or that code section also because it is an altered device. And that is, I'm sorry? And motorcycles as well. And it's an altered device, so therefore it is in violation of the state inspection.
Because I know, like with tinted windows, even though it's against the law, they can't reject a car for tinted windows. So
right, because that there's medical reasoning for that.
Well, that's for any. Okay. Any tinted windows. So I was just wondering if it was the same. Because I think it used to be.
Yeah, one time.
At one time, okay. That's improving. So, okay. Close the public hearing. Now we've all, Mr. Lanson, if you would like to add anything in reference to this ordinance, and then I'll call on the members if they have any questions.
I have nothing to add. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Ms. Green?
Well, I agree with everyone that's spoken. In my youth, I was probably riding in those vehicles on the back of a motorcycle that were creatively loud. and I have friends and business owners that are in the downtown area that hear the kids when they come out of school and they rev up, they intentionally rev up the engine so it'll bounce off the walls and make it even louder. You know, they're probably having fun. But in addition to those complaints, I have neighborhoods where elderly people live. And young adults have the big trucks, the loud motors. And I don't believe they're intentionally, in a couple cases I know, they're not intentionally revving the engine or the motor, but you can hear it go off on the way to school. And so that causes, I think, concern for the neighborhood. That's my
point. I would like to add one thing, because I live on North Main Street, and I hear a lot at different hours of the night. And going down Main Street, or coming up from the subdivision, I've had them going up and down the streets from the subdivision beside me where I've actually called the local police department because I can't even watch TV. Kind of along with Mr. Mayor. So I wanted to kind of put out there that from a personal thing, I can see on North Main Street, I mean, I can understand North Main Street and the subdivision, it's also an issue, too. To you, Ms. Colton.
So I have a question, because to me, logistically, I'm trying to figure out, so I'm putting myself in these people's situations where I'm in my house, and I'm trying to watch television, and I hear a loud vehicle go down the street. I call the police. I can't tell them what the car looks like. I can't tell them how fast it was going. I can't tell them what color it was. So our police officers are now chasing something that it could be long gone. Maybe they could stick their head out the window and listen for it, but I think that's kind of crazy. I mean, so my point is, how do you, once you hear it, if you're not an eyewitness walking on a sidewalk and then call the police and say, it's a blue whatever, blah, 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 enforce this?
I think as far as the enforcement is going to be on the regular patrol. That's where the 911. Now, if you call and said, hey, somebody is burning up and down the road, they're not going to fly, correct me if I'm wrong, please, but they're not going to fly down the road because they're going to make it a patrol. So they're just going to be start patrolling the area. And so that's, it's not going to be, you know, you couldn't give me all, you know, if you could give it to them, that's great. But if they don't hear it, they can't do nothing about it. So they'll just start patrolling the area. And when I've called, they've just ridden through the area a couple times.
Okay.
Is all, you know, when they got, they were tied up, fine. But they have ridden through the area. And then if they come upon it, they come upon it. If they don't, it's gone. But you know, a lot of times, the sight of them riding around where it was kind of is a little deterrent also.
Well, isn't this a deterrent? If it passes,
right, it is. But also, if the, like under her circumstance, if she called and said, "Hey, this car's going up and down the road or going real loud," and they just ride through the neighborhood a couple times, they may not find the car, but the people are going to see, you know, them riding through the neighborhood, which makes a deterrent anyway.
Mine is second fold too. I don't know. I have mixed emotions about this. So, as everyone probably knows, our property abuts 60 West. And so what we hear are the semi trucks constantly. If it's not the air brakes, it's the engine trying to get the truck up the hill. And if it's not that, they're running over the bumps in the road, which is absolutely annoying. I wish I could give them a ticket for that. I don't care about how loud their engine is. It's the rumble strips that drive me crazy. But I guess, but my point being is, if we have that and that's in the town limits, you get a semi truck driver, that's their livelihood, that's their business, and now we're pulling them over for driving their truck, and they need to drive their truck to make money.
Yeah, but they haven't modified their exhaust.
Some of them have.
Well,
come out of my house for a little while.
Well, I know, but I think a lot of what you're hearing is they're using the jet brakes.
Yeah.
The jet brakes.
Part of it, I guess I don't understand is, you know, to the normal hearer, I'm hearing an loud, audible noise. I don't know what part of the car that's making that, or a semi-truck.
Well, also, I don't think it'll be, I mean, you're going to get your normal calls, which I'll admit I've done that. But this is just giving them a tool in their basket. If they're riding on Main Street, and somebody blows them off with loud exhaust, and before, they just could just wave at them. Now they have something, or, you know, if somebody's riding around your house, you know, with loud exhaust, before they could just wave at them. All the now they have something they can do. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're good. Andre? Oh, she missed the hidden microphone.
I just think it leaves too much wiggle room and not a set standard of how you pull people over. And I feel that it's going to lead to problems about profile, as I said last week, is going to lead to a problem about picking and choosing who you pull it over instead of having a set standard of who you pull over. And you can pull people over, not even for the noise and thinking your car is modified, but you have a different agenda. You got to get the town in trouble. I mean, it's not standard. We it's too much room to pick and choose. And I don't see it as a very big problem anyhow. If we start making laws and change ordinance for every old person on the end of the block to make a complaint, we don't have nothing but ordinances and books and people laws, and people are going to be scared to even come to Hammers.
You know, that was, this was the law until a couple of years ago.
But what the reason you get rid of it, huh?
No, General Simmons made them.
Made them what?
Get rid of so a lot of laws.
But dealing with just equipment.
Yeah, so why would we want to bring it back? We really don't have a reason to bring it back. And it's really going to get us into issues. That's my opinion. It just is not a set standard of how you're going to pull over people.
Okay. All right, Kenny?
Yeah.
You done? Okay. We bring this to a vote. Entertain a motion to accept the amendments.
I'll make a motion.
A motion, or a second?
A second.
A second. Is there any further discussion we've discussed?
I have one more thing, sir. Just being honest, I like to hear the sound of a good muscle car. I mean, what's the problem with that? Even if it's modified a little bit, I mean, you can get you a good 5.0 Mustang or Camaro. I mean, it's not bothering anybody. I mean, so, and these people are complaining. I kind of wonder. They said, oh, they probably can't hear anything. You know, I'm just complaining. I mean, someone wanted to just.
I can hear.
Cause problems. Someone wanted to have something to complain about. Someone wanted to see the officer come to the house that need attention.
All right. Got it?
That's it.
Calling for a vote. Ms.
Aye.
All right.
Saying nay.
I have the tiebreaker. I vote yay. Motion carried. 3-2-0-1. Am I right on that? 3-2-0-1? Okay. Next item, citizens' comments. Mr. Chase, I'm not forgetting you tonight. I got you on top. So you got 3 minutes, sir. Jump up on the podium.
No, it's good to see him.
Yeah.
normally I'm speaking out against something, but tonight I'm not. I would just like to suggest maybe getting some public bike racks around in town. You know, we have bike lanes all throughout town. We have a safe speed limit, but I rode around through town a month ago. I was going to speak at it. But there was only like one bike rack that I saw. So if the town could maybe fund to put some in areas where there's high traffic, like up here at the Family Dollar, the Food Lane, and Briar Plaza in front of City Council, I think that would be a good way to increase foot traffic around here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chang. Mr. Stinson.
Hope everybody's doing well tonight. So I went to the Planning Commission, and the Planning Commission was not in favor of listening to changing an ordinance or considering it at this time to modify setbacks and things for accessory structures. So we talked for a while, and I had done some research where other counties, namely it was Bedford County, the town of Bedford, the Lovingston area and so forth, had lessen those setbacks for accessory structures. It's pretty difficult on the small lot sizes in the town to fit everything in the footprint that you want to. So I've observed several throughout the town that are would be non-compliant with the ordinance as I am today. And I spoke here once before about my accessory structure being somewhat pleasing and aesthetically pleasing to passersby. And I don't think I'm in any way devaluing the property in the area and or the neighborhood. If I'm forced to move the structure or add a roof to attach it to my dwelling and to bring it into compliance, the building still doesn't go away. It's still there. So I feel that it's an observation by someone that filed the complaint to say that not aesthetically pleasing to them, and or coupled with that, once they stated that, came the setback rules. The other thing is, I would love to be able to meet the complainer, but you would think you'd have the right to sort of meet that person. If the complaint goes away, does the problem go away? That'll be a question I have for others at a different time. But I wasn't so pleased that night. I thought I've just got to share this because the Planning Commission, obviously, I think works for you guys, but two people spoke on it, and the chairperson grabbed it and went to a vote immediately. The other commissioners had no chance to speak on it. So that sort of befuddled me a bit, and I respectfully left and accepted their vote and hope that you guys will give it more consideration. Really, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank
Any
you.
Questions for me?
No, sir.
Thank you.
All right, next item is consent agenda. I hope you have had a chance to review the last 2 months' meetings, because correction from the June meeting, so I will entertain a motion to accept the June and July meeting. Have a motion, Ms. Watt, and a second to it. Second to Mr. Higginbotham. Any discussion? Ms. Wheaton?
No.
Ms. Watt?
No.
Ms. Carson?
I was not here.
Well, I was the discussion.
Oh, sorry.
You threw me off.
Sorry.
And Mr. Higginbotham. Discussion. Okay. Vote, Mr. Higginbotham? All right.
I see.
Okay, all right.
Aye.
All right, 3-0-1-1. Threw me for a loop there for a second. All right. The staff reports, they're all attached. Any questions? Committee reports, Ms. Carter.
Can I say something just about some of the staff reports?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You just didn't jump in.
Sorry. Ms. Morgan, I was pleased to see your numbers on the budget, your bottom line for the anticipated revenue, that it was higher than anticipated, so thank you for showing that. That's, I think everyone needs to see and know that we're doing actually better than, you know, what was anticipated, so thank you for putting those numbers in. That's it. Sorry.
Okay, now we're going to you.
Yes, so the Finance Committee met, we had a brief discussion on the funding for the K-9 unit and the discussion around that, which we're going to hear this evening. And the committee found no significant impact to the budget, and now with Ms. Morgan's revenue showing positive as well, we feel even better about it. So I just wanted to say the committee was very comfortable with the funds required, what we'll hear later about the K-9 unit.
What?
No meeting, no report.
Planning Commission meeting, our minutes are attached. EDA, well, we got him again, the Robert E. Lee Soil and Water. You have anything to say there, sir?
I was out of the country when they had the meeting, so no, sir.
Okay, that's all right. And you were out of the country where there was water, too. I saw some photos. Pretty good. All right, discussion items. We're going to turn this over to Chief, Captain, and I don't know where Officer Rose went.
Please.
No, he was hiding around the corner. The police dog proposal. So, gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. As you can see in the report on pages 40 through 50, which you hopefully have had a chance to look over, we're here tonight to discuss the potential for a K-9 program with the Amherst Police Department. Officer Rose here, when he first came to us in April, the end of April is when he first started, in the beginning of May, sat down with me. We had some discussions about the potential for a program here in the town. And after listening to what he had to say and his explanations and reasonings, it was a very good reasoning why we needed a canine for our town, which we get picked on by the sheriff's office, our 5 square miles, but we have the same types of problems that they have and the same types of crime that they have, so the dog would assist that. Officer Rose has gone above and beyond in preparing the planning, or excuse me, the information that you all have, the packets that you all have, the training that he's already attended on his own time, and correct me if I'm wrong, had the dog, you volunteered the dog yourself to start training to see about if the dog was viable, and which I think the instructor said blew everybody's minds. So as you can see on here, we are talking about the program. It would be used for the detecting of illegal drugs, so it would be a single-purpose dog. We're not looking at the dual purpose as in a patrol dog or a bite dog, as it's commonly called. You know, we wanted to steer clear of that because of liability being one, being very key, and we are a small department, and it just wasn't feasible for our area. Going forward, the initial cost with this program would approximately be $12,500 right off the bat, and that was come up with by Officer Rose, and that is for the training and equipment and fielding the dog or the canine right off the bat. The first year that was that, every year after that, it would approximately be $8,000, and that would still cover the training for that year and the equipment needed for the dog for that calendar year or fiscal year. The training and equipment, right, okay. So I know that Officer Rose has spoken to you all individually. You all have approached him with questions. I greatly appreciate that. That shows your interest in this program as well, and we, as you know, the department, appreciate that. Thank you for your consideration in this matter. Thank you for your questions and concerns. Officer Rose and myself are here if you have any further questions or final questions that you might have, and we'll be happy to answer.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
I'm totally for it. It's a great move, but I'm curious. Are we going to be putting the dog through school every year? Is he going to college or what?
I'll let Officer Rose field that question because he's actually worked with the trainer that if we approve this, or if it's approved, excuse me, if you all approve it, he's worked with the trainer that will be training him and the canine. So I'll let him field that question.
That's a very good question. To answer your question very briefly, and hopefully a way you can understand it, is to some degree, yes. We do want to send our dog to college. We want to know that the dog, we're getting the best that we can out of this dog. We want to get the most that we can out of this dog, and we don't want any false hits from this dog. If we're running people's cars for drugs, we want to know and ensure that we're doing right by our citizens. So yes, we are sending this dog to college, for lack of better terms. The initial cost of the school, which you can consider to be college, would be $7,000. We have opted to pay $7,000 a year annually to continue that training with the master trainer. The state of Virginia says that we have to certify either through the state of Virginia or nationally every year to prove that the handler and the dog can perform the job task at hand. Our trainer not only has the capability to certify us in that every year, but you're having the firsthand experience of working with the same master trainer to put you through school. So if any problems arise, you've got a master trainer there to work it out with you. What we're paying for annually as far as training is not only the yearly certification, but we get 2 8-hour days per month to train with the master trainer. And also another great thing about that is, again, you get to take the dog back to college anytime you want. Once you have certified in the state of Virginia, let's say we certify and only drug work for now, we want to wait a little while till the dog gets older to do tracking, we can go back with the master trainer for no added cost of another school because we're already training with him on a regular basis. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We'll just go through it this way. First thing, I will entertain a motion to authorize the police department and the town to go forward with the police dog in Cambridge. I have a motion. This was quick. I have a motion from Ms. Carton and a second from Ms. Davidoff. Any comments, ma'am?
Yes. In addition to the narcotics, which is important, I've spoken to several community members, and they're most interested in addition to the narcotics, is tracking. There have been cases, not favorable ones, where people have wandered off and died due to exposure. And that doesn't include the children that may have wandered off. And in the heat that we've had recently, if you have a toddler that takes off, that's time is of the essence. And I've spoken with people from the search and rescue teams, and as they mentioned, the more time goes by, the further along the child or the adult can wander off, which will make it even a little harder to try and track. If I'm not mistaken, the VDEM, the Virginia Department of Emergency Management, have several teams in the area. But if I'm not mistaken, it may take 2 to 4 hours after you contact them, if you're lucky to get them here, because I guess you're surrounded. So back to the time is of the essence. If you have a young child, you know, I would imagine the further they wander off, Sky would be in line to help out. And that was one of the, in addition to the narcotics, that was appealing to my constituents.
I have one more question.
Wait a minute, I'll get to you.
Okay.
Mr. Ross?
I back up for this week and said, I personally know two elderly people who have worn it off and then dead before they found. And quite often, I think elderly people will wander off, and sometimes the outcome's better than that, but it does happen in children. But I think that from what I'm hearing is that's really going to be in their ultimate plans when the dog's a little older. So,
correct.
So I'm with you.
I'm sorry.
Okay, now, Ms. Dagenbach.
Once we're okay then, when will the dog be available for work? How soon?
The dog will be available for work after the six-week school. The six-week school is set to start Monday, the 15th. So it will run approximately through the 23rd of August. But the good thing about this particular school is, September, 23rd of September. And another great thing about this particular school is the master trainer has agreed for no extra cost to us. Already he's given us the school at half price. But for no extra cost, he's willing to stay two extra weeks to ensure that this puppy is certified as Brian Tam, and that we are able to use her. And our end goal, as Ms. Wheaton stated, is we want the dog to be able to perform at least three tasks. Number one, narcotic search for major narcotics, which would be heroin, methamphetamines, and cocaine. That's number one. Number two, we want the dog to track, because the county does not even have a dog that will track for missing persons, because all their dogs are bite dogs. So they're afraid that once the dog finds a person, it may bite in an unnecessary situation. And lastly, we want to be able to do area searches. So what an area search is if we show up on the scene and someone is missing, we can cut the dog off lead and tell it to search the house and the yard first before we even start a track.
Okay. With that, vote, Ms. Wheaton.
Aye.
Mr. Watts?
Aye.
Ms. Carden?
Aye.
Mr. Hill.
Aye.
Motion carried. 4-0-0-1. Go forth.
You got your dog.
And play with the dog. Yeah. Officer Rose will be slim and mean. He'll have the best cardio of any of us. I can guarantee you that. Mr. Lansing, application for the alley abandonment.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. As you know, we have received a request from Mount Olive Baptist Church to abandon an alleyway that is behind their church. That alleyway is not what you probably would picture in your head when you imagine an alleyway. It's heavily wooded. It's not something that would be used for vehicular traffic or really even for pedestrian traffic. But there are a lot of unanswered questions about the request that they have for alley abandonment. Things like what easements are running through these. If the alley is abandoned and it's converted to some other use, is that going to put public utilities at risk? And what is it that they're proposing doing with the alley? How much of the alley do they want to have abandoned? Are there any future uses that would be impaired by abandoning the alley? Who would be purchasing the land, and for how much, who's going to take care of the surveys and so forth. And so at the request of the town council, I have prepared an application for abandonment of a public right-of-way. This isn't specifically for Mount Olive Baptist Church in particular. It's just something that anyone who's wanting to abandon a public right-of-way could use. It's not something that has been implemented or published yet. It's just here for your review. And it starts on page 51 and following of your agenda packet. From here, a lot is going to depend on whether you want me to read all the questions that I have or whether you just prefer to read it on the screen. But there are 13 questions that I've listed out that are designed to just get as many details as we can about any public right-of-way that anyone proposes to abandon. I will add, I discussed this matter with my colleague, Mrs. Kemp, just before the meeting, and she had some very valuable input that I wish I had asked for weeks ago, she pointed me to a flow chart that the Virginia Department of Transportation uses for abandonment of any public right-of-way that is at least under their control. So the flow chart might not apply completely, but perhaps by patterning our decisions off of the people who are number one in the state, and I have heard number one in the country for transportation systems, we might be able to learn a lot. So the action that we're asking for is, we're not necessarily asking for the council to adopt this application. You certainly can if you want. What we're really seeking is your input, and you can either put forward a motion to adopt the application or to give the town manager or myself the power to publish the application and make it available for any applicant.
Does everybody have time to go through the application? Is there any questions about the application?
Yeah, not the application now itself, but your new information on the flowchart that you just received.
Yes, ma'am.
Since I have not seen that, is there anything in there that would need to be implemented in this application?
Not anything that I can see.
Okay.
But I...
Even for informational purposes to help the applicant answer the questions better.
Yeah, not anything that I can see. I don't see anything that would fundamentally change it. I'll just say it's a useful resource if the town council desires to continue evaluating this application form. If your desire is to send it back, then I can certainly take a deeper look at it when I have more time and further evaluate it. But on the other hand, if you want to adopt some flexible motion, like just giving the town manager or me the authority to start using this or to make further modifications as necessary, you can do any of those things.
That was kind of my thought I was going to throw out.
Yeah.
We turn it over to the town manager and the attorney, and they work together to come up with a good solution, and then they market, not marketing it out, wrong word, but they put it out and let them, because we don't really need to be in that. That's something that these guys in the day-to-day operations need to take care of.
Well, I'll make that motion if you want a motion.
Yes, ma'am, I do.
I'll make that motion. We have to give the power to the town manager and the town attorney to work out the...
And I have a second for Ms. Wheaton. Discussion?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Ms. Wheaton? Discussion? Okay. Thank you. 4-0-0-1. The next item is set the possibility of setting a public hearing for the accessory structure. We've heard from Mr. Stinson tonight. My personal opinion is I think we should hear what the people have to say. We should hear what everybody has to say. I would like to ask council to set a public hearing next month, and I know you've heard some at your planning commission this week, but I would also like to hear what everybody has to say. So I am asking for a motion that we set a public hearing next month on the accessory structure. Have a motion from Mr. Watt. Mr. second. Is there any discussion?
That was a point of clarification, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
Just confirming you are looking to advertise the ordinance as it exists currently. So that's what the Planning Commission did and determined that they did not want to make any changes. Or are you suggesting any changes ahead of advertisement for public hearing?
Okay, I think we should advertise
what exists, okay,
and then if something comes out of that meeting, there's nothing that says we don't go back and change it.
Yes, sir.
But I mean, we will advertise it now as it exists.
Okay.
So we will get both sides of the argument. That's my thinking. We'll get both sides. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Ms. Higginbotham, vote.
Yeah.
Barton?
Aye.
And Ms. Wheat?
Aye.
Motion is carried 4-0-0-1 for next month. EDA appointments, Ms. McDuffie?
Yes, sir. There are two vacancies, and you have two applications. Staff request that you appoint Mr. Thompson and Mr. Middlehouse to the EDA.
Okay, with that, I'll entertain a motion to appoint these two gentlemen. Motion from Ms. Wheat. Second from Ms. Carton. Discussion, Ms. Wheat. Mr. White. Ms. Carton? Rickenbacker. Vote, Ms. Rickenbacker. Ms. Carton.
Aye.
Ms. Wheat. 4-0-0-1. Carried. Motion from staff. Captain Payne?
Yes, sir.
Matter from staff. Well, motion ain't chumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I just wanted to clarify something, too, on our canine process. During the discussion with various council members and the mayor, it was requested that if this passes, that Officer Rose be selected as our canine handler for the simple fact of the amount of work that he has done in this program and getting this off the ground. So normally we would have had like a selection process, but from Chief Shiflett's purview and from my purview, we are going to go with Officer Rose as the canine handler. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you all again for your consideration. Yes, sir.
I'm just curious. Now, would this dog be a police officer? Would it be insured by the town?
It would be considered a police officer as the police canine through the Amherst Police Department. As far as insurance, that is something that is beyond me. I don't know that question. I can get an answer for you, though.
The Code of Virginia allows for any injury to the police officer pretty much the same as the fact of injuring a human police officer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I didn't know that off the top.
All right, Chief.
These guys, I have to say, did an outstanding job. I thought they came to me with it, and I entertained it, and I said, let's get a game plan together. And these guys, they did a wonderful job in getting it together. And Officer Rose did a wonderful job as well, preparing it, selling it to me. And I was like, okay, now we got to sell it to the folks above us. I want to thank you all for listening, and it's going to be wonderful. I ran a search and rescue team, one of the agencies I worked there for 12 years. You're right. Time is of the essence when you're looking for somebody. You know, we got schools here, an older community. It can happen. You don't want it to happen, but if you do, you want to be prepared. And I think the dog will be beneficial, even if it only saves one life or finds one person. It's done his job. And his only pay is going to be good food and playtime. That's all I'm talking about. So,
works cheap.
That's it. Appreciate you guys. Oh, yeah, we had the national night out last week with the county and a couple other agencies. Great turnout. A lot of folks showed up. Saw who's meeting there. Thank you for coming. So it was a really nice turnout. We had a bunch of kids. We gave back to school supplies to them. And good time. So thank you guys. Appreciate you.
I was in the dump. A
couple of officers on that face care.
I'm sorry. I hear you. What did you say?
Just one thing. Just want to mention that Municode has received our modifications, or y'all's modifications, excuse me, to the zoning recodification, to their proof of it. And we should receive a completed document in October.
Okay. Mr. Thompson?
No, sir.
Ms. Beck?
No, sir.
Mr. Williams?
No, sir.
Ms. Tracy? Mr. Williams? Okay, matter from council, Ms. Wheaton. Mr. Watts.
Briefly, just want to speak to the bike racks. I don't know how many of you remember, for years we had one over in the mini park, and it never got used. Mm-hmm. So the library asked to donate to them, put them there. You see people out in the plastic, and there's one bicycle in there now and then, but I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but I'm not sure that I've used those yet, based on past experience.
Well, I would use it. It's my kids, but I go to the post office, I go to the bank, I come here. I think there used to be one at the filling station, you know, part of it, go through my burner. And I don't, there's not one at Snap when I go to the gym. I think we ought to put a few up.
Well, I don't think we can be putting them on private property.
Yeah, private property.
That's a business owner. No, it's a business owner.
Oh, yeah.
That was my question. I think it's a great idea for the bike racks, but you would have to get permission from the business owner. It's their private property.
Yeah.
How
will put
them on?
Well, I remember when we were doing the library, I mean, we had to jump through a lot of hoops because it was county property.
Right.
And we had to get the bike rack from, it was sitting up here, but somehow it had to get moved down.
And it had to go to grass.
Yeah, it had to go in the grass in a certain place
because
it was on county property. I remember it was just, so that would be something we would really have to look into because of the private property and all that stuff.
Anyway, I just wanted
to. I would like to follow
through
with that.
Bring it up
in a
moment.
I kind of love the bike rack idea. I think it's a good idea, something we should really think about. That's all I know.
Okay, Chief, could you check and see if there's any other signs in the comments, please, sir?
I can't help myself right here, but you might get businesses to actually donate one for you and put it on the property.
That's an idea.
No, sir?
That's a thought.
Yeah, I was going to go with that when we went back into the discussion. Thank you. All right, with that, I am going to call a 25-minute recess. We will be going into a closed session. So it can give people time to get all their belongings together before we go into the closed session.
I was like,